The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I welcome you to God's presence tonight. And I know that your lives will never be the same again in Jesus' name. I trust God that all that God has destined for you, it will become in the name of Jesus. As it is, we'll need to readjust the timetable for this program. Praise the Lord. Insights for uncommon elevation is the title of the first word tonight. Insights for uncommon elevation. God is a God of elevation. Every day, God is always thinking of how to elevate you. Every time, God is always thinking of how you can change level. He loves it. Just like a child, a father loves when his children move from one class to another. As my children are growing little by little, I enjoy it. I just look at them sometimes and say, this small baby is now this level, now this level, now this. I just look at them when they are playing around and all that. That's the way God loves us, to change level. He does not want you to permanently stay on a spot. And God's wish for you shall come to pass. God's wish for you shall come to pass. Elevation means honor. To be honored. Elevation also means to be promoted. Elevation means to be lifted in life. To be lifted in life. Elevation also means to be beautified. To be beautified. To be beautified. And of course, elevation means walking in dignity. Walking in dignity. Your elevation is God's delight. It might not be your enemy's delight, but it is God's delight. And the Bible says in Psalm 60 verse 12, that through our God we will do valiantly. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He that shall tread down our enemies. I say tonight that anybody that does not want you to be elevated, God will tread them down in the name of Jesus. Every enemy of yours and enemy of mine that does not want us to enjoy elevation, God will tread them down today. Let me hear your loudest amen. And in Job 22 verse 29, the Bible says, when men are cast down, you will be saying there's a lifting up. When many men are saying that they are not enjoying elevation, you will be saying that there's a lifting up. If you are one of us that will be enjoying this elevation, let me hear you shout a big amen. Amen. Elevation is not a product of accidents. There are insights that guarantee your elevation. Has anybody ever seen anybody that just enters university as a medical student and goes straight from registry and goes straight to 600 level? Have you ever seen such before? If you have ever seen such before, if you prescribe drug to you to take, you will never take it. Nothing progressive is accidental. It might look like an accident to you, but it's not accidental. There are some things that has been done. And tonight I'll be showing you, amongst other things, one of the major things in this particular session, and of course in tonight's meeting generally. that brings about elevation. And what is this thing? I call it the secret of elevation, or the insight, the major secret that brings elevation is called dedication to God. Dedication. Dedication to God. I went in search of the dictionary. What is dedication? Dedication means the quality of being devoted or committed to something or someone. Dedication means the quality of being devoted or committed to something or to someone. Dedication always results in elevation. Anywhere you see somebody who is dedicated, watch out, he will soon be elevated. Anywhere you see somebody who is dedicated, watch out, such a person will soon be elevated. Listen to me, friends. If you are dedicated to God, you are sure that you will not stay on the same spot. If you are dedicated to God, it is sure that you will not end your life as a liability. In my place, they say, a person does not trade with God and go back home with losses. You don't engage your life with God and say, I regret ever. He will not allow it. As small as I am, if you are close to me, I will not want you to be put to shame. I will not want to see your tears. I will not want things to go bad for you. Not to talk of the Almighty. Dedication always results in elevation. Now, quickly tonight, what does it mean to be dedicated to God? Number one, it means to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Every lover of God is a dedicated person. The love you have for God is a sign of, you can't tell me I love God. No. Your dedication to God is a proof that you love God. Your dedication to God is a proof that you love God. And your love for God is a proof that you are dedicated to Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 10, Deuteronomy 5 verse 10, the Bible says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Him. And when I check this scripture, you know, the way I read the Bible might be different from some. I read with details. I can read, aside from my normal studying in the morning, I can study just a chapter of the Bible throughout a day. Sometimes just few verses. Just to get that. When I was studying this place, I got to this place. He says, showing mercy unto thousands of them. And I paused. Thousands. Why did God say thousands? And we have billions of people in the world. Why didn't he say showing mercy unto millions? Why didn't he say showing mercy unto billions? It struck me and told me, not many who are close to God are actually dedicated to God. Say, showing mercy unto thousands. May you be among these thousand. May you and I be among these thousand. Because only these thousands can be distinguished. May you not drop off. I say you will not drop off. I say you will not drop off. Let me hear your loudest amen. Everyone that loves God, according to Joshua 23 verse 11, everyone that loves God, there's no way you can love God and then your life will remain the same. Take good heed therefore unto yourself that you love the Lord your God. Take heed. That's like a commandment. He said, make sure there's something very important. Take heed that you love Him and express your love to Him on a continual and on a consistent basis. Everyone that wants to say he loves God will be dedicated to Him. And you must realize this, ladies and gentlemen, that every lover of God, naturally, it's just like in a relationship. When you are in a relationship with somebody, naturally you are dedicated to that person. You love the person deeply. And you can dedicate anything to that person. You can give anything for that person. Because of the genuinity of your love. When there's no dedication, love is in doubt. When a woman wants to know if a guy, he will not be dedicated. If a guy is forgetting to call you many, many days, many weeks, it's a sign. He doesn't love you sincerely. Anybody you love, naturally, you want to communicate with that person all the time because of the dedication and the love. I'm giving you some expo tonight for those who are looking out for what to do. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. It's very, very important. It's very, very important that you love God, and this is a sign that you are dedicated to Him. Psalms 91 verse 14 also explains this to us. My prayer for you tonight is that a new love for God will be enacted in your heart in the name of Jesus. He says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high. That's elevation. He said, because He loved me, I will set Him on high. I will make sure that He's elevated. Why? I have sensed that He loves me. I can see my love in this lady's heart. And because of that, I will make sure she's elevated. I will set Him on high. I will set her on high. There is somebody here tonight. You are the exact person God is talking about here. He will set you on high. He will set your family on high. He will set your marital life on high. He will set your destiny on high. Because He has known my name. Because He has loved me. Because He cares about me. I have never seen anybody that is dedicated to God and is a nobody in life. I have never seen it. I've searched and searched. I've never seen it. That this person is so... Anytime you see somebody who is not being lifted, it's a sign that their love is not enough. You might think you love God, but what God is saying is that you can love me more. A new baptism of the Spirit of love comes upon everyone here tonight in the name of Jesus. And you know, when you love somebody, there are some things attached to it. We're not going into that tonight because of time. Number two, that we'll be looking at tonight, sign, or what does it mean that one is dedicated to God? Number two, is possession of zeal for His work and the defense of His house. Every lover of God is zealous for God. One of the major signs that you really love God is that you possess zeal. Psalm 69 verse 9. For the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. The zeal of thy house, it has consumed me. It has eaten me up. For the zeal of thy house, that is, anybody that is dedicated to God will be exalted. But he must realize, for this to happen, he must have zeal. There must be zeal in his heart. In Joshua 2 verse 17, the Bible said, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. The zeal of thy house has eaten me up. So everybody that is with God must know. He must know. She must know that everybody that wants to experience God must know that it needs to be zealous. There was a man called Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 10 from verse 18 to 28. 2 Kings chapter 10 verse 18 to 28. This guy killed all the prophets of Baal because of zeal. Bible says, and Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. He used deception to gather idol worshippers together. And he got 80 people to go round about the place, and they slaughtered all of them. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, and all the prophets let none be wanting, for I have a great feast. He brought them together as if he wanted to give them food or sacrifice. And he got 80 men. The Bible calls them fourscore. Fourscore. He brought 80 men with sword, empowered them with guns. GPMG. General Purpose Machine Gun. Double barrel guns. Swords. And he sacrificed. I said, oh, you know what he did? When you get home, you can read it. I don't have time tonight. Because I still want us to have more time to pray and to worship. You know what he did? He now went around and said, are you sure that only prophets of Baal are here? And he said, there's nobody that loves God here. If you love God, please go out. It's only prophets of Baal you want to celebrate. It's only prophets of Baal we want to give cow meat. We want to bless them very well. We want to, if you know you love God, please go out. Oh. After everybody that loves God there went out, he slaughtered all of them because of the zeal for God. That's why tonight, anybody against your rising, they must be slaughtered tonight. I say anybody against your rising, God must slaughter them tonight. Any prophet of Baal waking up at the night, doing night vigil because of you to slaughter you, God will slaughter them today. I say God will slaughter them today. Anybody calling your name for evil, anybody planning or orchestrating evil for you, your children, your family, tonight God will terminate their lives. Zeal is what separates those who hate God. Zeal is what separates those who love God and from those who don't love God. Zeal always brings a distinction. Your zeal for God makes you to go extra mile for God. What others cannot do, you say, I will do it. Let's go for this thing. You say, I'll go. They say, if anybody come out tonight, they will kill, they say, I'm going for VG. I will go. That's zeal. I've told you this story before. When I was in the high institution many years ago, we were for three days of fasting, and after the third night, I was going back home alone, and they said there was a ritual and all that in that particular place, and I was coming. And I was hearing the drums of the ritual people coming. The natural man, what you should do is to, ritualists. This was like middle of the night, maybe like 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the middle of the night. They were drumming and, we have called somebody today. And somebody after 3 days of brutal, this one is not fasting and you drink water or you eat. Oh, this one is a marathon. So after coming from, I didn't want to call it that, but you have called it. So walking like a ghost on the road, I was just waiting for one person to just touch me. Give me that slap. At least 7 teeth must come out. I was just waiting. As I was moving closer, they were now intensifying their drums. And as I passed, you can imagine how I was. This was this was many years ago. Just one small boy like this, I just passed. I was just waiting for any of those women or the men to be there and say, who are you? I must give him a dirty slap. And minimum 7, I will give him to the extent that the teeth must come out. Because there's no respect. Listen to me, friends. The zeal of the Lord makes you to dare anything. They say, this work, witches can kill you. Say, which we bring them now. So you tell them, sir, don't go out, don't do this. No, a zealous person does not fear. You don't put in fear. A zealous person goes for the work. Somebody's here today. The spirit of fear is cast out of your life in Jesus' name. I said the spirit of fear is cast out of your life in Jesus' name. The spirit of fear is cast out of your life in Jesus' name. The zealous dares the devil. The zealous faces the devil. The devil, you are a fool. Tonight, anybody threatening you, God must show them pepper tonight. The new baptism of the spirit of zeal for the work of God comes upon you afresh in the name of Jesus. It comes upon you afresh in the name of Jesus. You know, they were threatening Paul. He was not, because of his zeal, he didn't care. He didn't care. I must preach the gospel. There's nothing you want to do. The same zeal he was using to persecute the church was the same zeal he took into ministry. He was a persecutor of the church before. So when God saved him on the way to Damascus, the same zeal that he was using before. Is this, that's why many of you here, the zeal you use to study is different from the zeal you use for God's work. It's wrong. The zeal you use in your office, in fact, they can give you a award as best staff, but in the church, in the house of God, your zeal is low. No wonder the elevation is very slow. No wonder answers are very slow. If you want God to answer you quickly, add zeal to the work. Add zeal to the work. Number three, sign of dedication to God is spending quality time with Him regularly. Spending quality time. Everybody that is dedicated to God naturally spends time with God. In Psalm 73, verse 27, the Bible says, For they that are far away from thee shall perish. You will not perish in Jesus' name. Say, anybody far away from God will perish. That's why we as pastors, we are always running after souls, praying for souls. Father, don't let this person be lost. Don't let this person's soul be lost. Don't let this person's heart be lost. It's not because we don't have what to do, but because when a man is far away from his maker, he will perish. The devil has nothing to offer. The devil has nothing to offer. When somebody who has a farm is feeding chicken, he's only feeding that chicken so that he can be fat because of the day we what? Slaughter the chicken. When somebody is with the devil and is looking robust, big, changing cars, don't envy the person. He said, for lo, they that are far from God, they shall perish. Anybody, you see, when you are the kind of person that you see people still calling you, hello, why need to come to be happy? Oh? Because those are the people that does not want you to perish. Those are the people that devil does not want you to come near God at all. Go to nightclub, and eat fish outside, as if you cannot cook fish in your house. Where you guys can eat fish somewhere? For what? Nonsense. Spend quality time with your maker. Listen to me, friends. It's important for you to know everybody that spends quality time with God is a sign of your dedication to God. It's a sign of your dedication to God. A wise man once said, he said, I have a long day today. And so I have a very busy schedule. So I will only spend minimum of 3 hours with God this morning. But a fool will say, I have a long day today. I only spend 3 minutes with God this morning. Somebody say, I'm very busy. It's a busy day for me. Today is very busy. It's a very busy day. So I cannot spend more than 3 hours with God today in the morning. As busy as David was, he was with God 10 times daily. Your dedication is evidenced by your spending quality time in God's presence, in God's house on a regular basis. Anybody? Anybody who is dedicated will naturally want to spend time for the person in the house of the person that created. This is not a personal house of anybody. Bible says every house is built by someone, but he that built all things is what? God. God used some people to build this auditorium, and we still use them to build other auditoriums. But this is the house of God, consecrated to the work of God. As we spend more time here, it is an evidence that we are dedicated. I said this, I think last Sunday or maybe over Sunday, that God forbid that somebody on the other side is spending more time in his own place of worship more than you. What kind of born-again Christian is that? What kind of born-again Christian is that? Somebody on the other is spending more, the cumulative hours the person is spending per day is more than you. You say, I'm born again. How many years? I'm born again for 17 years. 17 years? 17 years? And the person is this Sunday person. That will never be your case in Jesus' name. Say, I've been born again for years. For years. You are born again not to suffer again. But if you are not born again, if you are not dedicated to God, you can suffer again. You are born again not to suffer again. But when you are far away from your maker, this is a sign that that person is not dedicated. Number four, sign of being dedicated to God. What does it mean to be dedicated? Is permanent thirst for your maker. See, the nature of man is the nature of permanent quest for God. You see, God has placed in us a permanent desire for God. In every human being you can see, there's always a vacuum. They are always searching. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. If they do business, I'm not satisfied with this business. If they do this one, I'm not satisfied with this one. If they have children, when people are in school, they say, if I can get married, shagalabaya, me and my husband, this one, then they pop the first baby, pop second baby, third baby, they become dissatisfied. After that, they move on to other things. The reason is that there is a vacuum in everyone's life. Only God can fill it. We have been created by God, whereby there's nothing you can do in this life. Be the president of Nigeria or any other country. If you are not with God, you will still feel that thirst. It is only when you are with God that you feel that satisfaction in your heart. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, expressing his thirst before God. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. Listen to me, friends. The lack of thirst for God is a sign of spiritual infirmity. The lack, if you are a person, you are not thirsty for God, you are not hungry for God's presence, is a sign that that person is already spiritually kwashokot. And of course, spiritual illness leads to hellfire. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power. He didn't say to see money. He didn't say to see BMW 2017 model. Neither did he say to see a house in Banana Island. It's good. There's nothing bad in it. There's nothing bad in it. But that test must be there permanently. That test is what wakes you up in the night to talk to him. That test is what pushes you out early Sunday morning to come to church. That test is what pushes you for prayer. You can pray in the house, so say, I'm going for prayer banquet. That test is what makes you to fast. You fast and fast and fast and say, what are you looking for? I just want to know God. I just want to know you. I just want to see your face. I just want to know you more. I was telling Pastor Moshe something. He said, yeah. One of our fathers in the faith says something. He says, since 1976 or 78, till now, he said he fasts every day. From 1976, is that 76 or 70? I can't remember very well. Till now, every blessed day, he fasts. Every day, since 76 till now. I told him, he said, yay! That's how it is. When he says he fasts, doesn't mean that he's not eating at all. The fasting can be till 12, it can be till 1, it can be till 2, it can be till 3. But every day, since 19, where were you in 1976? Many people here were in heaven then. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Permanent test. You are testing. This test is what pushes you into fasting. The last two or three children that we had, every time we are fasting, either in our church here or in ministries where we have served before, and my wife is pregnant, she's with fasting. That pregnancy goes with fasting. Someone say, how is it possible? It's a product of test. You risk your life. You risk your existence for God. Knowing fully well, he cannot allow you to die. Oh! But a man standing without pregnancy or anything, say, everything I can do, but not fasting. Pastor, please change your topic to another thing. Fasting. Fasting is, when we are talking about fasting, we are talking about lasting. Fasting and lasting go together. If you want to last, you must fast. May the Lord give us understanding. I said, may the Lord give us understanding. May the Lord give us understanding. This permanent test for God culminates in continuous prayer. Joel 2 verse 15. You have to call a fast. You have to pray because you have a strong desire for God. Joel 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Everybody, every man or woman that is dedicated to God is thirsty for him. When I see genuine born again Christian, you can't spend one day with me, I will know that this person is genuine. Because you will see a test. I'm not talking of you being a pastor. There will be a yearning for God. The issue of walking into church at 11 can never happen to somebody who is thirsty. It can't happen. Because he hardly even slept in the night. He's thinking, what is going to happen in the service today? What's going to happen today? Today is favor for spiritual elevation. Favor. You begin to... So in the morning, it's all bam, out on time. A new test for God is coming for you today in the name of Jesus. Ladies here, if you are genuinely born again, don't mistakenly marry a man who has no test for God. Don't make that mistake. If you say, I want to marry you by force, let me feel your test for God first. Let me see that you... Because a man that is not thirsty for God cannot... There's nothing to offer. And every woman here who has a husband who is thirsty for God, push them, encourage them. Don't dampen their morale. Don't tell them, hey, what is it? Are you the only one? Remember that story of that woman that came to teach her that time, one prof like this, that she was discouraging her husband. And God spoke to her and said, if you are not careful, I'll replace you. Say, I will bless you. Be careful. I want to use your husband. You are talking. Who are you? Nonsense. I want to use you. You are making mouth. Are we? She said she was shaking like a jelly. And since that time, she's decided to simmer. I pray that God will not use Koboko to beat any of us in Jesus' name. Yeah. Number 5. I think I better stop here. Number 5. Sign of dedication to God is a life of praise. Especially when you are inside the praise tabernacle. Hallelujah. Let me hear your hallelujah. Every praiseful person is an elevated person. Every praiseful church is an elevated church. The more you praise, the more you are raised. The more you praise, the more you are... Say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. If you can lift me up, I will lift you up. If you can move me forward and praise me with men, I will ensure I raise you amongst men. The days of your being on the ground is over. I said the days of your being on the ground is over. No one can be raised except he has praised. And praise is a ladder for destiny. Do you want to climb the ladder of life easily and get to the top? Praise God. Do you want to get to the level of people you are envying? Praise God. Do you want God to raise you up massively? Be a praiser. Get instruments of your own. Get tambourine. Play instruments if you can. Use your voice. God is not looking for how sweet your voice is. That's not what God is looking for. So your voice might not be so okay. Don't bother. Don't worry. If your voice is cracky, don't bother yourself. Your voice is cracky to you. It's sweet to the person you are singing it to. Oh, man. It's cracky to you. You can't hear it. You think it's not okay, but the person that you are singing to is acceptable. He said, this is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to me. So don't bother if you are singing off key or on key. That one is not a problem. What is important is that you can sing. And I will sing and I will praise. There's a song like that. The darkest hour. Yes. And I will sing. Even in your darkest hour, sing. You will come out. Okay, look at it. Look at a man like Lazarus in John chapter 11, from verse 41 to 44. Lazarus was already in the grave 4 days. Already in the grave 4 days. Somebody already dead for 1 day. You can imagine. But 4 days. 1, 2, 3, 4. That one is already cadaver. As in, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, what does that tell you? Anything can be elevated through praise. Your business, your marriage, your career, your financial status, your health. That's why we always say that when people are sick, they should play worship. When somebody is in the hospital, we take radio there. Say, we have radio, take worship, and we play. Because praise creates an atmosphere. And it is the atmosphere that is needed for God to work. God cannot work except there's an atmosphere. That's why in your car, praise must be playing and worship permanently. When I got born again, one of the first things I did was to... I burnt all the CDs that are non-Christian. I pack it outside, put petrol there. This Michael Jackson and all this thing. Yeah, you. What nonsense. I said, my life don't change. I'm not going for this anymore. Not going for this nonsense, man. I bought every CDs, cassettes, all sorts of cassettes of songs that we used to dance to in those days. Everything. Burn them. Started buying new ones. You can't see one single non-religious in my possession till forever in any of my gadgets, systems, phone, not
Not one song.
Anything that is not pushing me towards God is unwanted around me. It's unwanted. I was in a place and they were singing some songs. They were just playing some. I was uncomfortable. I said, lock the window. Lock the window in this office here. I don't. Because I have a distaste for anything that is not of God. And you know, you must also guard your heart, because what you are listening to all the time will eventually be planted in your heart. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Every praiser will be raised. Friends, between now and the end of this month, God will raise you. That's why when we are praising God, don't be looking. Don't be looking. You to praise your own. Don't be looking. Praise your own. Sing your own. And Lazarus. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Go on. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Can you see a praiser? I thank thee. And I know you have answered me. He has heard me already. The Lord has answered my prayers. He has heard me. The Lord has answered my prayers. He has heard me already. Answered my prayers. That was what Jesus did. At a place where for this dead person is. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of these people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Next verse, we're still going to 44. And when he thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! That's how you see that after worship, after praise, we lead you into prayer. Because immediately after you have praised and worshiped God, there's access. There's access. There's access to see anything. You declare it comes to pass. You know the story of that Herodias' daughter when she danced before the king. He danced and danced and danced. And the Bible says, and as she danced, the king said, oh yeah, ask me anything. To what? Half of this kingdom. It's like going to the emir here and you dance. You dance and the man says, oh yeah, I own all the land of this learning. Oh yeah, ask me till half. Including GRAO. See, all the hotels, everything, I own it. Oh yeah, ask half. Unfortunately, the stupid girl asked for the head of John the Baptist. Very stupid girl. And her mother. I can't imagine how somebody will give you opportunity like that. Ah! Ask for something great. You ask for somebody's head. Ah, wicked devil. Oh God. May the Lord help us. And John the Baptist too, it was unfortunate because at that particular time, he was operating in bitterness. When you are not operating in praise, but in bitterness, you are instead of elevation, it is degradation. When you are operating in bitter, you just hate people. Because he sent his disciples to Jesus, say, ah, are you the one that we are waiting for? Ah, so you can't see me in trouble. See, they say you are powerful. See, you are fasting. See, you are doing, why come this thing has not happened to me? Then you say, go and tell him, the blind see, the lame walk. So I leave him to judge if I'm the savior or not. And about that time, his head was cut off. That's why saturate your life with joy and happiness. Don't allow unnecessary bitterness. If you see people that personally want to grieve your spirit all the time, they associate with you, grieve your spirit. Separate yourself from them. Load yourself with people that when you see them, you are just happy. I have people like that in my life. When I just see them, I can't explain. If I'm not happy before, I just begin to smile. Saturate yourself with such people. That lifts your spirit. That makes you happy all the time. And you too, be somebody that emanates praise. Just be dancing on your own sometimes and just be glorifying God. People be asking, what's happening? Have you hit a jackpot? Have you won American Visa lottery? Have you won American Visa? Why are you just so happy? You say, it is because I know my future will be all right. If you know your future will be all right, jump on your feet and shout hallelujah. If you know your future will be all right, jump on your feet and shout hallelujah. We are going to go into a session of high praises now. After which we will go into prayers. And I trust God that your life will never, ever, ever be the same.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.